And I will now pass it over to Dave Cernak and Angela Kretzinger, who will open today's call.
Thank you all for joining us today. Welcome. We have Dave Cernak, Acting Regional Supervisor, on the line, and I'm Angela Kretzinger, also Acting Regional Supervisor. Before we hand it over to our first presenter, we would like to provide a brief overview of what we'll cover today. Next slide, please. First, we will begin by providing a few updates relating to ASPR's healthcare readiness programs. Next, Charlene Lee will provide an overview of the Strategic National Stockpile, or SNS, Office of State, Tribal, Local, and Territorial Preparedness. Afterward, Erica Thomas from ASPR's Office of Planning and Exercises, or OPE, will give a presentation of the Hospital Association end-of-year data. And finally, Audrey Masurek from ASPR Tracy will conclude our webinar today by providing an overview of ASPR Tracy's new tools and resources. Next slide, please. We'd like to begin today's webinar with a couple of administrative updates. First, Hospital Association data collection is upcoming, and there will be instructional information provided about data collection processes soon. The data collected will be the same as last year, and hospital associations will have the opportunity to indicate that a subrecipient did not conduct additional activities using funding. Next slide. And I will turn it over to Dave Cernak.
And good afternoon, everyone. Thank you, Angela. All right, next thing we'd like to cover down on here is the National Healthcare Preparedness and Response Capabilities and the update that's currently going on in the pre-decisional draft review. So as many of you know, ASPR is currently updating the Healthcare Preparedness and Response Capabilities to reflect many of the insights and lessons learned from recent disasters. And now we're at that point where we are soliciting your feedback nationwide and additional input as part of this pre-decisional review. We know many of you participated in various and numerous discussions leading up to the development of the pre-decisional draft, and now we welcome your additional review and feedback. So in order to make sure that we had ample time for this to happen, we've extended the deadline for comments until this Friday, June 16th. So tomorrow. It was June 9th, but now it's open till June 16th. So please encourage any of your additional partners, members of your organization to take this additional opportunity to provide that feedback before Friday, June 16th. So you can view the pre-decisional review draft and access the online comment matrix to submit your comments using the links that we're going to share in the chat. And Matt is going to drop those links in here any second. All right. So with that, we'll go to the next slide. And the other update we want to provide everyone on the call today is a brief update on ASPR's organizational structure. So as you might remember, last time we met, we discussed ASPR's updated organizational structure, and we want to quickly revisit a few of these updates. So under the updated organizational structure, the National Healthcare Preparedness Programs, or NHPP, was elevated from a branch up to an office level and renamed the Office of Healthcare Readiness. You may notice on the slide there that there's the Office of Preparedness, and which is an executive level office. And then right below that, you'll see Healthcare Readiness, and that is the office that we reside in. This is an exciting elevation for us within ASPR's organizational structure, and it is the result of the growing emphasis on the importance of healthcare readiness. So we've heard some concerns that the Hospital Preparedness Program and other programs that currently fell within NHPP may be going away under this new organizational structure. And we want to assure you that this is not the case. In fact, our name change and the elevation of our organization to an office level results in more attention and more focus on our programs. And that overall is a very good thing. On the screen, you'll also see that ASPR's new org chart to the left. You can see ASPR's new org chart, and you'll see exactly where the Office of Healthcare Readiness is and the other offices within the Office of Preparedness that we now are able to work very closely with. So as you can see, there have been no major changes to our other programs and activities. So rest assured, our partners will continue to be our number one and top priority, and we look forward to growing our partnerships with all of you. We will next pass the presentations here over to Ms. Charlene Lee for updates from the SNS Office of STLT Preparedness, and we'll be happy to answer any additional questions you may have on what I've covered at the end of the presentation. So with that, I'll turn it over to you, Charlene. Thank you. Next slide.
Hi, good afternoon, everyone. My name is Charlene Lee. I'm a preparedness advisor within the new Office of Strategic, Office of State, Tribal, Local, and Territorial Preparedness, which I'll refer to as STLT moving forward because that's quite a mouthful. I'm actually joined today by Julianne Williams, also from my team. We'll be here mostly just to introduce ourselves, but also we'll be interested in your thoughts moving forward. This won't be the first time we are talking to you as a team or as SNS, and we look forward to, you know, extending our working relationship with you. So next slide, and actually you can skip the next two slides. These are the standard ASPR slides, which we've been asked to include. Now, I'm glad Dave actually gave you a hint. If we can go to the, today I just want to say I'll be covering the mission and the organizational structure of our new office, our functions. We'll talk a lot about technical assistance, like where we see helping you all, what we're continuing and what we hope to add. Talk a little bit about key partners and our priorities for the next 2023 year and also into 2024. And hopefully if I manage the time right, we'll have some time for questions and answers or just some of your thoughts. Now, one of the things I wanna explain, if we can go to the next slide, you saw the hint of the new org chart for ASPR. One of the things that is also on there is the elevation of SNS within ASPR. So we were sort of several layers down previously, but as ASPR's now become an agency, we've been elevated into an office itself. So here's the updated leadership team chart. I know Lisa Dillard came and talked to some of you last year. She's our deputy director to Steve Adams. But I wanna just highlight before we talk about the new office, some of the key areas of interest I think you may have in our new office. So we have six program offices inside SNS. Of those six, just wanna mention Office of Science to you. That's the home of the formulary. They're the SMEs that talk across the agency to CDC, within ASPR, with BARDA, for example, NIH and FDA, about what goes into the formula, what's in the formulary, and sort of the guidance that comes out. So we work very closely with our partners through this office on the science realm, in the clinical realm. Of course, we have Bruce Everett for Office of Management and Business Operations. Shirley Mabry is the director for the Office of Logistics. For those of you who kind of need a hint or key thing to remember, they manage the SNS warehouse and partner with our vendor partners who do that, you know, sort of that manage inventory. This would be material that's deployed to protect healthcare workers and those in healthcare settings, you know, during events, and helps you treat patients. So everything from N95s to some countermeasures. Next, we have Marge Griffin, who's the head of the Office of National Readiness and Response. They oversee the operations center that many of you like call, you know, have on your speed dial. They coordinate the deployment of our material. However, they also offer exercise and training support. So for those of you who, you know, are trying to test your receipt and distribution of supplies that you receive from the SNS, this is the office that helps with a lot of that. They're also probably well known to some of you who took part in the Anniston Healthcare Coalition courses, or, you know, been down there for other courses where SNS was, you know, part of the curriculum. So you may actually be glad to hear also that they will be coming back with training curriculum starting next year. Then, of course, we have Ron Autumn heading the Office of Supply Chain Alliance and Development. They partner with private enterprise around supply chain. They engage with both governmental and non-governmental partners to talk about forecasting shortages and security. So for those of you who are already familiar with the Critical Infrastructure Program or HIDA, this is the office that does a lot of partnering with those entities. And of course, I'm here to talk to you about the newest office. That's the Office of State, Tribal, Local, and Territorial Preparedness, SCLT, because that's a mouthful, and that's headed by Glenn Christie. Next slide. So I wanted to talk to you about why this office was stood up. And part of it is that SNS realized as we try and re-engage the state and locals that we wanted a place to sort of bring in and, you know, have a good place for you guys to come and sort of figure out what assets are out there and what trainings and things we have for you. But in sum, our mission is to engage you all to assist with your medical countermeasures logistic planning and coordinate access to the SNS training and exercise support in order to enhance your preparedness. So when we say we envision that there's work that needs to be done to help you as our partners receive and use material from the SNS, this is our primary responsibility. Next slide. Okay. So what do we mean by medical countermeasures or MCM planning? So we are referring to those MCMs that are currently in the SNS stockpile or that you'll be receiving because we are procuring it for you on your behalf through our purchasing power. So as an example of that, think of some of the N95s that actually came from the pharmacies, partners, things like that. You may not have been aware, but SNS, you know, purchased and distributed a lot of those during COVID through those partnerships. Now, I just say this because not all MCMs will be coming from the SNS. You may recall, for example, that during COVID, we had certain therapeutics like monoclonal antibodies that like Paxlovid or Remdesivir. Those are not distributed by SNS. So there is a distinction that we wanted to make. So our assistance with MCM logistics planning will be focusing on what we think, how we best can help you perform in terms of receiving, staging, and storing those MCM countermeasures. We're looking also not, you know, in terms of providing support as you receive it at your jurisdiction, whether it's a state or it's a, you know, a large city warehouse, but looking how we can help you as you distribute that material to certain points of care, such as public health pods or healthcare facilities. Next slide. So for our office, just apologize, it's gonna look like a lot of org charts, but we'll, if you bear with me, just wanna explain that there are two divisions within this new office. And as I mentioned, Glenn Christie is the head of our office. We have the Division of Technical Assistance headed by Claudia Marone. And the second division, which is stakeholder engagement, which currently is vacant, but Glenn Christie is acting as a head of that office. So on the Division of Technical Assistance, we have two branches. One is a resource liaison branch. The second is a technical support branch. In sum, we're all focused on TA to SQLTs. And I'll talk a little bit more about the branches in a few slides. Now the stakeholder engagement division is about finding and working with the partners who we think can enhance the SDLT work. So for example, there might be private partners who we think can leverage, such as our healthcare distributors associations, medical materials associations, but there are also other federal partners that might be of help. And I'll give an example in a few minutes. We'll go ahead into the next slide. Okay, so this slide is here to summarize what we'll be detailing as I go through each of the branches. I just want to point out one thing, and that some of you may already know SNS perhaps through the IMAT system, and that's the inventory management and tracking system, which SNS provides free of charge to state and locals to help them sort of keep track of what comes in from the SNS. But we also validate warehouse sites that have been identified by the jurisdictions to receive material from the SNS. And I'll expand on this just a little bit more. You can go ahead, next slide. So as I mentioned, each of our divisions has two branches. And the first one I'm going to talk about is the resource liaison branch, which sits under Division of Technical Assistance. So this unit is probably going to be the one you interact with the most. We see this as the office that primarily engages with, you know, all of you as our state STLT partners to provide technical assistance. This includes collaborations with FEP directors, MCM coordinators, the ASPR regional staff who are in their role support SNS in providing technical assistance to the field, the staff in CDC Division of State and Local Readiness or DSLR, and also our ASPR colleagues in the Office of Healthcare Readiness. So we have our field project officers and our regional directors here on this call. In particular, I wanna mention that we're really interested in assisting, I think, you know, we talk about the whole healthcare system, but figuring out how to integrate and enhance SNS planning better with all of you as you guys work on countermeasures issues inside your healthcare preparedness programs. So again, we want to reiterate our support for MCM issues. SNS public okay, I'm not sure if we're having technical issues. There we go. Just one other thing I forgot to mention about the
Hi, Charlene. I think you're having a bit of a technical issue. If your camera is not off, you may want to try turning that one off to see if it helps stream your Wi-Fi a little bit better.
Oh dear. Okay. Sorry. Let's see.
Coming in pretty clear now. Thank you.
Let's see. I can see. Okay. I apologize all. I think it was the bandwidth. So I might've dropped off on this slide. I'm not quite sure where. Let me just mention, and I think most of you are able to read it. The one other thing I want to just flag before 14001. This branch is also working with both federal and state partners on facilitating SNS.
Shirley, I'm sorry to interrupt you. We have lost you again.
I can dial in. You guys give me the number. Yeah, I'm here. Okay. Apologies, everyone. I have apologies, I've lost you guys. I can dial in.
I did send Charlene the number. However, we'll give her just another few, about 30 seconds more to see if she can join back in. And if not, we will jump ahead. And then,
sorry. I apologize. I'm dialing in, checking if you can hear me on the phone.
Yes, we hear you.
Okay, sorry. And I did mute the computer, so you hopefully will not get feedback. And I apologize, everyone. It looks like my bandwidth is really bad. So I apologize. Now I'm not sure where we left off on the slide presentation, but I will speak to this slide again and try and make up some time. So the resource liaison branch, just quickly, want to explain that we talked to that this is a key group that we're working with the PEP directors, MCM coordinators, the regional staff, the staff at CDC, Division of State and Local Readiness, or DSLR, as well as our colleagues in the Office of Healthcare Readiness. One of our key focus areas as we move forward is trying to understand how to integrate and better enhance SNS planning within the healthcare preparedness programs. So I know a lot of you represent associations, but you also represent hospitals, but we're looking beyond just hospitals, but to include the greater healthcare system. So this work is going to be focusing on providing assistance to aid SDLTs in planning to receive and use MCMs and medical supplies from the SNS in both public health and healthcare settings. One thing I just want to touch on is the effort to work on the Executive Order 14001. So this directive actually asked SNS to look and explore how we can better facilitate the access of MCM and SNS material for federally recognized tribal governments, IHS healthcare providers, tribal health authorities, and urban Indian organizations. We'll also be coordinating access to training and exercise support from SNS for those out in the SDLT. So next slide, keep moving forward, it's progress, there we go. Okay, so earlier I mentioned IMAS, and the other branch within this division is focusing on providing training and technical support for that inventory management and tracking system. I know a lot of you have supply chain folks who work with you, so I hope this is of interest to them. This branch also will be dealing with providing access and explaining the steps forward for the inventory data exchange or IDE program, which provides a standardized process for SNS to receive inventory counts during a public health emergency. We also mentioned earlier the RSS, the validation of warehouse sites that we're receiving SNS product, we call those RSS, which is receive, stage, and storage sites. Together, we'll be working with our U.S. Marshals and Asper regional staff to provide preliminary checklist to help in that selection of sites, and then we'll be working with them on the final validation and sort of confirmation, yes, that these sites are ready to receive our product. Also, this branch will be responsible for developing tools and other resources that we in the division will be needing as we learn more about, you know, what the technical needs are from all of our constituents. Next slide. So the division of government and private sector engagement, I just wanted to follow up earlier. And I said, yes, we'll be working with stakeholders and looking towards fostering relationships with partners who we think can, you know, help or enhance our current SDLT partners networks in order to support their MCM operations. So as an example, I mentioned earlier that, you know, the executive order and tribal organization. So the resource liaison branch, for example, is planning to provide technical assistance to tribal governments and urban Indian organizations. To do that, though, we have to work first with partners in ASPR, Indian Health Service, IHS, CDC, and FEMA to develop a plan based on the strategies that will be approved by HHS. The other thing is we know we still are sort of learning about some of these expanded partnerships that were needed to mount the support during COVID. So this group is looking, attending our meetings and trying to understand, you know, what partnerships might be needed to help some of you in furthering your planning or overcoming certain roadblocks. Okay, so next slide. Thank you. So the strategy and project coordination branch is going to be working on behalf of our office for guiding sort of the future direction to the office, looking at how we're doing business and identifying opportunities to improve on the services that we provide. We also, you know, are very interested as we engage with all of you identifying what are some good innovative approaches or best practices in SNS planning so that we can share them with others who may be facing certain challenges and looking you know, to others to help them overcome them. One of the key activities of this branch includes the ongoing regional engagement meetings, and I'll be coming back to this in a few slides, but these meetings are being conducted out in your HHS region, and we see them as essential to furthering the relationship between SNS, your programs, your institutions, your healthcare partners, and our federal partners. So we plan for these after this year to be recurring meetings, and this branch will be taking the lead on planning the future meetings. Next slide. Thank you. All right, so I mentioned I would be providing examples of technical assistance that I have so far, but this is a good visual summary. And just to highlight some of these things, under the TA that we're providing, you know, we plan to provide guidance on NCM planning, help building partnership networks that can help your SNS operations, working with our federal state partners to assist healthcare coalitions and other healthcare entities with their preparedness planning, and also others that are mentioned on this slide. Hopefully there is no surprise here, but if there is, you know, we can talk about that further when we get to Q&A. We can go to the next slide. So this slide just provides a visual summary of some of the principal partners that we are working to further our relationship in this strategic year. These are partners we want to work with to provide assistance to all of you in the public health and healthcare settings. As you can see, our network includes our ASPR colleagues, or you know, include regional staff, as well as Office of Healthcare Readiness, as well as DSLR, who I've mentioned, and our SDLT partners. Next slide. So our way forward, really, this visual just explains that we are focus on three areas right now. First is building our capacity and implementing various communication opportunities and engagement strategies. So we are working on building up our staffing and developing procedures. We'll be working with our communications division on messaging for our partners, stakeholders, which include all of you. We realize we have to create some new materials as well as update some of the prior existing ones in order to ensure that all of you have access to clear information about what SNS has in terms of material and services. So part of this plan, we also understand that we have to identify and also share the best practices that we discover. We also are looking to some of our other counterparts to, you know, help us understand how best to inform all of you, how to keep you updated of what our services and our plans are for SNS. So this is a start. And again, we thank you for inviting us to this call. So our engagement strategy, you know, we have to admit SNS has been a little bit out of the public eye since we transitioned from CDC to ASPR. We are looking toward re-energizing current relationships and establishing any new ones so that we can, again, build better processes to understand each other's capabilities and your needs as well as our needs. We do know that SNS has a lot of information that we need to begin sharing. And, you know, we are, again, looking forward to working with all of you so we understand better what you need to see from us. All right, next slide. Let's get to the priorities. I apologize, it looks like we're a little behind time due to the technical snafu. But in 2023, among our priorities is conducting the SNS regional engagement meetings. And I've alluded to this, but maybe this visual will help you understand. So far we've gone to, HHS regions 3, 4, 5, 9, and 10, and had our first set of meetings. We still have to follow up with everyone and work through and talk through, identify some next steps and opportunities to work with them going forward. We still have 8, 2, 6, and 7 seen on the slide coming up with region 1 to be scheduled. Hopefully some of you have heard about these meetings, especially the upcoming ones. And if not, something we'll work on moving forward is how to make sure all of you have have a part in the future meetings. Another priority for us will be working with DSLR as they develop their new 5-year notice of funding opportunity for their FEP recipients. Similarly, we are engaging with OHCR around some of their capabilities. In particular, we had a chance to look at and provide some input into some of what is being proposed, but I think we're very interested in what you have to say about SNS as you consider the new capabilities. Regarding the last point on the side, just saying while we're establishing this new office, we're working with our federal partners on process to support all of you better. Next slide. Well, I did want to just say that we know that people probably have a lot of questions for us, and I'll talk about how you can, you know, further ask for more information at the end of the presentation. But one of the things I wanted to talk to you about, because this is an area that of most interest to me, is at the regional engagement meetings, we've been trying to introduce this topic of healthcare into our conversations. I think for some people it's a surprise, some maybe not. But one of the reasons why we're exploring this is because I think we realized through the recent responses how much more important, how complicated healthcare is, right? But SNS definitely has different equities with healthcare. And so we know all of you eventually may encounter an SNS MCM as part of your response to an emergency. And I think we understand we may have more information. We need to help you be ready to do that and help your facilities do that. So to that end, we've been working with OHCR and other partners to improve our support for your needs and better understand you. So at these meetings, we are trying to expand our understanding of healthcare and the coalition framework that translates within your jurisdictions. So for example, we have heard no coalition looks alike, but is it a statewide coalition, a regional coalition? Is it something that is specific to perhaps a city or a multi-county area? So we've been trying to understand as we go into these meetings how it looks different in your different jurisdictions. We try and understand who the players are as well. Is it strong? Is it strongly influenced by healthcare and public health? Is EMS one of the leads? Is emergency management also at the table? And we're also trying to understand if you have a higher hospital focus and representation, or perhaps, you know, you guys have good representation of long-term care facilities and skilled nursing facilities. Maybe you even have great participation by private providers. I think that's helpful to us because we saw all of these entities needing to come into play during COVID. So this is something we hope that we begin hearing from all of you. As we said, we're here to listen and learn about how healthcare works in your individual areas. Also, we're exploring with them their access issues with MCMs. What were the successes and barriers in recent responses? And ultimately, again, identifying how we can help you as healthcare successfully prepare and respond to emergencies in the area of receiving, you know, MCMs from SNS. We also hope to find some best practices around MCMs. I have to say, I learned some great things from Region 10 when I was out there about how they do stockpiling and how they're thinking about it for the future. But again, our idea is to learn what we can so we can share, and also, when appropriate, if there isn't an answer, figure out how we as federal partners can help you do your planning better. So the other things that we also are trying to learn and understand is what trainings do we need to plan for in the future with all of you? And again, you guys represent healthcare. And SNS has done a lot of work with public health, but healthcare is something we realize we would like to do more with. And also, if there is anything we're missing, if there's situational awareness needs that you have, we want to hear that as well. All right, so next slide. Okay, so I don't know if we're going to hold for questions and answers. So in case, let me show the next slide and we can come back to this. So how do you guys contact us and provide us feedback? Assuming we don't get to meet at a regional engagement meeting, we have a team mailbox, Julianne and I, and our team of folks who are interfacing with all of you through the Division of Technical Systems have a mailbox. We also will be putting more information up on the website. But for now, again, the other way you can also contact us or send questions, you have your SPOs. We are trying to make sure we align better with them. You are free to also reach out, you know, through those channels as well. We will work with you however you feel best and most comfortable. So again, I apologize for the technical difficulties, and I know I ran over a little bit. So I will turn the time back over to our moderator. Tell me what we'll do next.
Well, thank you thank you again to Charlene and the SNS team for putting together such a comprehensive and relevant presentation. I think we'll go ahead to the next presenter, but we will have time for questions at the end. And so thank you for all of your support in submitting your end of year performance measure forms during last year's data collection cycle. The data provided are crucial for ASPR to understand how hospital association recipients and subrecipients utilized allocated funding to support the healthcare system to achieve the preparedness response capabilities needed to combat COVID-19, as well as to prepare for future special pathogen outbreaks. I will now turn it over to Erica Thomas to provide an overview of the data analysis results for the first 2 years of the cooperative agreement. Next slide.
Thank you, Angela. ASPR provided COVID-19 emergency supplemental funding to 53 hospital associations. Hospital association recipients distributed cooperative agreement funding to support 3,750 unique subrecipients and their activities. As you see on this slide, the map depicts the geographic distribution of facilities and organizations by subrecipient across the United States. The 3,750 subrecipients have a wide reach across healthcare entities on the front lines, from acute care hospitals to specialty care centers to home and residential care entities. As you can see on the bottom right corner of the slide, the largest subrecipient group was acute care hospitals, followed by hospital systems and specialty care centers. The next few slides will cover some key takeaways from hospital association COVID-19 preparedness and response activities, cooperative agreements, years 1 and 2 data analyses. Next slide, please. Hospital associations spent $13.8 million on the 8 target outcomes of funding during years 1 and 2 of the cooperative agreement. The table to the left of the screen shows the amount of funding recipients spent on target outcomes 1 through 8, organized from greatest to least in terms of allocated funding in 1 year. As you see, recipients allocated the majority of the funds in years 1 and 2 on PPE procurement and optimization activities or target outcome 4. However, the percentage of total funding spent on these activities dropped between the 2 years. Instead, the recipients increased the amount of funding spent on updating or training staff to implement preparedness plans aligned with target outcome 1 by 73% between years 1 and 2. We saw also a 104% increase in the amount of funding allocated to increasing surge capacity or target outcome 7. From year 1 to 2. Apart from target outcome 4, recipients spent the second highest amount of funding on activities related to the administration and management of the cooperative agreement, or target outcome 8. 28% of the funding was spent on these activities in years 1 and 2. On the next slide, we will discuss the types of equipment recipients purchased thus far using the cooperative agreement funding. Face mask or face shields was the equipment type most procured by hospital associations between years 1 and 2. 19 unique recipients indicated purchasing PPE supplies and equipment in years 1 and 2 of the cooperative agreement. Face masks and face shields were the most popular type purchased, with 11 of the 19 recipients, or 74%, denoting spending funding on these supplies. For additional information, the most procured equipment type in year one was face mask or face shields, while in year two, gloves was the highest purchase supply. Holistically, between the first 2 years, the second most procured equipment type was gowns, followed by N95 respirators, gloves, and eye protection equipment. In the following slide, we take a deep dive into the subrecipient activities in the first 2 years of the cooperative agreement. Next slide, please. Subrecipients spent $132 million on the 8 target outcomes of funding during years 1 and 2 of the cooperative agreement. The same as slide three, the table to the left of the screen shows the amount of funding subrecipients spent on target outcomes 1 through 8, organized from greatest to least in terms of allocated funding in year one. Looking at the table more closely, reported data show that there was a decrease in overall spending by subrecipients between years 1 and 2. However, subrecipients concentrated the amount of funding on 3 target outcomes in the first 2 years: PPE procurement and optimization, telemedicine and telehealth, and retrofitting. Subrecipients spent the most funding on PPE procurement and optimization activities. Subrecipients spent 10% of the total funding on retrofitting in year one. We saw a relative jump in year 2 to 16% spent on target outcome 6. Lastly, the Hospital Association subrecipients spent the least funding on the administration and management of the cooperative agreement. Next slide, please. To conclude, the data results illustrate that subrecipients and recipients have spent $146 million on the cooperative agreement's 8 target outcomes of funding. The $146 million was mostly used on PPE procurement and optimization activities by both recipients and subrecipients. Recipients increased the amount of funding spent on updating and training staff to implement preparedness plans and increasing surge capacity activities between years 1 and 2. For subrecipients, the highest amount of funding spent in the first 2 years of the cooperative agreement was retrofitting activities. Next slide, please. Thank you for your time today. I'll now pause. Our Deloitte colleagues are on the line to help or to answer any questions that you may have. We have a question in the chat. Is there a point person to contact regarding the remaining funds? I will turn it over. Is Aldo? Aldo, are you on the line?
Yeah, let me turn my camera on. Thank you, Erica.
You're welcome.
Teresa, I would recommend that you reach out to your FPO. They'll be able to provide further guidance there.
Thank you, Aldo.
You're welcome.
Are there any other questions? And you can feel free to reach out for any questions that you may have. Okay, Debbie. When will we be reporting on the previous year's funds? Last year it was due in June. We aren't doing that again this summer. So data collection will begin. We are gearing up for data collection starting July 7th. So you will be hearing more from us soon. You're welcome, Debbie. And so I know that sometimes questions will pop up after the call. You can always reach out to us. I'm available as well as your FPOs. They will be your primary contact and we're definitely here to support. So thank you so much for your time.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, Erica. And also thank you everyone for your questions. We will now pass it over to Asper Tracy for an update. Audrey.
Hi, thanks everyone for having us on the call today. Next slide. Okay, so we know that many of your members are still experiencing or are planning for cyber attacks. So we just wanted to provide a quick reminder of some of our cybersecurity resources. So on this slide, we wanted to specifically highlight Asper Tracy Cybersecurity Readiness and Response Considerations document. This specifically focuses on the effects of cyber incidents on the healthcare operational environment, specifically the ability to effectively care for patients, maintaining business practices, and ensuring readiness and recovery. And this particular document was accompanied with a national webinar highlighted here, or hyperlinked here, a speaker series recorded that was done in collaboration with Nebraska Medicine and MedStar, who provide real-world examples of their hospital's response to cyber attacks. Note that the document was recently updated in October 2022, and many additional resources are also hyperlinked here, including our cyber topic collection. Next slide. Okay, so this slide highlights a few of the resources that we've released or recently updated since we last presented to this group earlier this spring. So I'll just go through a few of these. We held a roundtable in April featuring speakers representing national, urban, regional, and tribal jurisdictions, sharing their perspectives on how they integrated communications, lessons learned during recent incidents, and into current and future responses. Earlier this year, CMS, as you know, announced rural emergency hospitals as a new provider type. Asper Tracy developed a facility-specific requirement overview document for REHs, similar to the ones that we previously did for the other 17 provider types. Our most recent issue, issue 17 of the Exchange, features healthcare facility, water, and other utility outages. Specifically highlighting interviews with healthcare systems and facilities from the city of Jackson, talking about their water crisis, HCA Houston Healthcare Tomball, talking about their experience with Winter Storm Uri, Lee Health during Hurricane Ian, and Seattle during their recent heat dome and heat wave events. Also, we have a new mass casualty hospital expansion toolkit, which provides hospitals with a quick reference on how to expand healthcare capacity in the first hours following a mass casualty incident. And we're very happy to announce that in collaboration with OASH and Asper Leadership, we just released the LGBTQI+ Community and Disaster Preparedness and Response Topic Collection just last week. This is Asper Tracy's 60th topic collection. And finally, we have made many updates to our resource pages and topic collections as noted here. So please check those out. Next slide. Okay. So over the next few months, we're going to have many new and updated resources that we're working on. Of particular note, we are updating our EMS infectious disease playbook. The original playbook was developed back in 2017, and so we're working with numerous subject matter experts and partners to incorporate new considerations. So take a keep an eye out for that later on this month. Also, watch out for some upcoming webinars and presentations from Asper Tracy, such as our active shooter and hospital and other workplace violence planning considerations webinar that we're hoping to do later this fall. And if you happen to be joining or attending the Joint Commission Emergency Management Conference later this month, please make sure to check out two sessions conducted by Asper Tracy subject matter experts, Dr. John Hick and Megan Treber, who are going to be highlighting Asper Tracy resources during their sessions. And with that, I'll turn it back over to Angela or Dave. Thanks.
Well, thank you so much, Audrey, for that wonderful presentation and very informative too. So before we get to the next slide, I did want to circle back around if there were any additional questions that folks had for any of the presenters while we have them on the line. If you didn't get a chance to ask it, this is the opportunity to do so. Or also, if you have any other questions that we might be able to answer for you, please take this opportunity to ask them, either in the chat or raising your hand. I am not seeing any questions, so we will move right along to the next slide, please. Thank you. And thank you to all the presenters again for their time today and to all of you for your active participation in today's meeting. And we appreciate you taking the time to join us. As a reminder, we invite you to share any stories regarding how you are using ASPR funding to make a positive impact on your communities. If you have a story to share, please fill out our Stories from the Field submission form or reach out to your FPO for more information. A member of our team will drop the Story from the Field submission form link into the chat for easy reference. Thank you, Matt. We look forward to hearing about the great work that you are doing. And thank you again for attending today. And everyone have a wonderful day.